We honor you, Lord. We reverence you. We just put our hearts, Lord, in the place where we know how good you are, how holy you are. And we ask you, God, to just fill our hearts and our minds with what you require of us, what you want from us. Because you deserve complete and total obedience to your voice. Help us, Lord. We need you. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Psalm 95? Psalm 95. Come on, let's read this together. Think about this together. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. That's what we just did. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are His people, and the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hands. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. As we said last week, worship means to bow. You know, worship doesn't mean necessarily sing songs, but you can sing songs in worship, right? Worship doesn't necessarily mean to even pray, but you can pray and your prayers can be worship. But worship means that you bow your heart before Him. In the Greek, it's kind of like this. It's like you kiss the hand of the one who's superior, and you bow your forehead to the ground in His honor. Come on, look at that again. We bow to the ground because He's honorable, right? He's the one who deserves the glory. He's the one that deserves all of the praise. Our job, your job, my job, is to worship Him. We said this last week, and we used to have a little placard that said, worship first. That means before anything else, we go to God and we worship Him. We talk to Him. Now, I said this last week, I'll say it again. God doesn't necessarily need our worship. But He desires it because it puts our hearts on Him. Right? And He's the answer. Let me say that again. He's the answer, right? So we're talking about worship. We talked about the fact that worship requires all of our heart. The first commandment is that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, and all our soul. That's worship. You can't worship God truly if you're not into it fully. And here's the deal, and this is really amazing to me. Here's the deal. It's like worship is hard. Why do I say worship is hard? Is because worship requires all of our attention to be on Him when so much of the attention that we have is on us. Right? Even when we come, I'm going to church today, I hope I get something out of it. I understand that feeling, and I believe you will get something out of it. But the primary thing is that we're coming to worship God. So it's like it's not, Lord, what I get out of it, but it's what you get out of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship takes total commitment. We talked last week about Daniel and the lion's den and the three Hebrew children. How about they were all in. Right? We're going to worship God even if it costs us our whole life. Worship requires the commitment to the point of your destruction. Isn't that something? Well, nobody's yet lining you up before a firing squad. Right? Nobody yet, but worship might look like this in the morning. God tells you to do something and you don't want to do it. Or God requires of you to put Him first and to put His Word first. And yet society is telling you, no, we don't really need that. We don't want to listen to that. Listen, I know that God said this and He said that and He said that, but you know, come on. His Word says, wives, submit to your husbands. We don't really like that anymore because, you know, that's demeaning to women and whatever. And it's not, right? His Word is first. If we're going to worship Him, we can't worship Him without putting Him first, right? And the other thing is we really can't worship Him unless we know Him, right? I mean, you worship Him at the point of your knowledge of Him, but the reality is, if I want to be better at worship, I need to know Him more. How do you get to know Him more? You read His thoughts. You read the Word of God. You cannot totally get to a place where you're worshiping Him at the level that you need to unless you're absorbed in His Word so that He can speak to you out of it. Amen? All right, let's go to the New Testament. This is so awesome. In John chapter 4, and it's I just love it when the Holy Spirit orchestrates things, because Donnie spoke of these particular verses this morning, and I didn't talk to her about it. But in John chapter 4, and we're going to read the whole thing, but I want to get to the last few verses of it. But look at verse 6. It says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from His journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food, and the woman of Samaria said to Him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water. The woman said to Him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. I love that. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one that whom you now have is not your husband. In that you speak truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hours come when you will neither worship on this mountain or in Jerusalem, worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Glory to God. There's so much about this story, and I don't want to get bogged down into that. I want to get to the point of what I want to say today. That when Jesus came to the earth, everything changed. Because everyone who accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior is in Him and qualified to worship. You see, what she was saying is, listen up, why are you even talking to me? You Jews have nothing to do with me. And Jesus said, you know, you're kind of right. And the salvation line came through the Jews, and the Messiah is coming through the Jews, and your way back to God, to where you can truly worship Him, is coming through the Jews. But I've got news for you. I'm here. I am the one who not only qualifies, but directs true worship. And it's not going to be at a church. It's not going to be at a mountain. It's not going to be someplace else. The place of worship is going to transfer from a physical destination into a heart. You see, without Jesus being the Lord of your life, you truly cannot worship God. But you see, when we gave our hearts to Jesus, it was supposed to be and should be an ongoing surrender to Him. See, we sing the songs, and the songs are good, and I love the songs, but I think sometimes, I know for myself, I have trouble because I want to be in the songs and singing the songs to Him, but I'm worried about so many other things that it's hard for me sometimes to get to the place of worship. Right? I mean, you know, even in church services, things go on, the baby cries or somebody's over here doing something, and you get distracted, and it's hard for you to put your whole heart into worship. But God requires wholehearted worship. Bowing before Him, yielding ourselves to Him. But here's the cool thing. When you get to that place, you get to the source of everything that you have need of. You can't say that you truly love God unless you worship God. And you'll never worship God unless you truly love God. And love God above everything else. We're going to see today is who are we worshiping? Who are we worshiping? Like I said before, it's sometimes difficult to worship God, and it's easy to get distracted and begin to worship something or someone else. You know, there are great ministries and great churches all over the country, and I'm not naming names or even judging them, but there are some people who worship the pastor more than they worship God. Or they worship their denomination, or they worship something else. But God is requiring us individually to come back to the place where we worship Him. Worship Him. I think the first thing, we talked about this a little bit last week, the first thing we need to do when we're coming into the place of worship, and the place of worship is in your heart, and you can do that in your car, in your home, in your house, in your bed, and you know, you can do it everywhere. You can worship God, but it's in your heart. But just like under the rituals of the Old Testament, I think that there is a shadow of what we should do today. It's like, Lord, I'm coming before You, and if there's anything in me, Lord, that's hindering my ability to worship You the way that You require, point it out to me. Right? It's kind of like, bathe my heart, show me my heart, because I want to worship You the way You deserve to be worshipped. Again, look at this again before we leave this particular verse. Verse 23 says, the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. The spirit part of it was dealt with when Jesus took your place and there was a great transfer. He took our sins, we get His righteousness. He put into us a heart of flesh, right? But I like this, must worship me in spirit and truth, and God's looking for that person. Worship me in spirit and in truth, but whose truth? Whose truth? Your truth? My truth? Their truth? That truth? You know, this church's truth? That church's truth? No. His truth. In other words, I value your opinion, and I value what you have to say, and I don't want to necessarily dismiss what you're saying, but if your opinion doesn't line up with His opinion, I'm going to go with His opinion. Because God is looking for those who will worship Him, not only from their spirit and in their spirit, but aligned with the truth of what He has to say. Right? Freedom. I mean, Jesus has made it possible for us to enter into the throne room of heaven and go before the throne of grace and find help in our time of need and glory to God. But we have to come with a heart that says, Lord, I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. And God is so willing and wanting to show you the truth. Hallelujah. You know that God loves you. But He'll use the truth to chasten you. What does that mean? To discipline you. Let me say it another way. He'll use the truth to straighten you out. Straighten your thinking out. Straighten your heart out. Straighten your attitude out. Straighten everything out about you. Right? If He's not doing that, be worried. Right? Be concerned. If you're reading the Word and it's not causing you to want to change something at some point, then you should be concerned about that, because the Bible says that He chastens those He loves, but those who don't receive or have His chastening, they're outside. They're illegitimate children. Right. I want to come to worship God as He is, in spirit and in truth, but His truth. So one part of worship is, Lord, I yield myself to You completely, and I want to hear what You have to say to me, about my situation, and I want to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then worship. Right, true worship bows to that. In other words, God says, your attitude is wrong. Okay, Lord, I'll change my attitude. The Lord says, your actions are wrong. Okay, Lord, I'll change my actions. Right? Because true worship is the place of not only confrontation, but it's the place of change. Hallelujah. I really believe God wants to display Himself at this time, this hour, in such glory that it blows people away. I mean, wouldn't you love to come to a church service that the glory of God was so much there that even, you know, the worship team's laying on the ground and everybody in the congregation is on their knees and it's just so holy in the place that people either surrender to God or run from Him. Right? How does that begin? That begins with a people who say, Lord, I'm surrendering everything to You. Glory to God. And I want everything that You have. Do you know what God hates? Well, there's several things that God hates. But one of the main things that God hates are idols. Idols. When we think of an idol, we think of, you know, some statue somewhere, and that could be an idol or something else. But listen, an idol is anything that takes God's place. Let me say that one more time. An idol is anything that takes God's place or position. An idol is anything that takes away from God that which He deserves. So does God deserve a little bit of your heart or all of your heart? Does He deserve you on Sunday morning and maybe Wednesday night, but, you know, or does He deserve your heart 24/7? Right? Okay, Lord. Well, what if in your heart the Lord tells you to do something that's going to cause you pain and may alienate you from everything else? True worship says, Lord, I'll do what You want me to do no matter what it costs me to do it. What did Jesus say when He was talking about this? He said, listen, unless you're willing to give up lands, homes, relationships, you're not worthy of Me. True worship is at the place where you're willing to give up everything to God because He deserves it, right? He deserves it. Hallelujah. And it's not from an external penance type of thing. You know, their whole religion's based on, you know, you've got to come to God and you've got to crawl through the gravel and you've got to do this and you've got to do that in order to be worthy enough. Jesus made us worthy, but it's still our position to put our heart before Him and say, Lord, it's You and You only will I worship. Come on, it's You and You only will I worship. I want to go through a couple of examples in the Word of idolatry, and we'll see some things here. But go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, you know, I'm convinced that the nation of Israel was bipolar. What do I mean by that? They'd serve Him through one king, and then the next king, they'd knock Him out. And then the next king, they'd serve Him, and things would be, and they get thrown into captivity, and they say, oh, help! But it was kind of like that. But before we get too judgmental on them, maybe that's us too. Just maybe that's us. But in 1 Kings chapter 14, 1 Kings chapter 14, and let's start out looking at verse 21. It says, and Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city to which the Lord had chosen out of the tribes of Israel to put His name there. His mother's name was Naamah, an Amoritess. Now listen to this. This was Solomon's son. This is one who the book of Proverbs was directed toward. You want knowledge? Come on. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and we're going to go into that a little bit more. But I'm telling you that the fear of the Lord is equal to worship. The love of the Lord is worship, is the same as the fear of the Lord. In other words, you reverence the Lord. You say, Lord, I acknowledge Your position and I bow before that position, and whatever You have for me, that's what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. Verse 22, it says, now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked Him to jealousy with their sins, which they committed more than their fathers had done. Listen, for they built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were those who perverted persons in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. You got to know that when Solomon died, the nation of Israel was at the best position they'd ever been in. Riches, glory, famine, everything. Just one generation apart from them, they're starting to build idols in high places and, you know. You can't live on your grandfather's worship. You can't go on your daddy's worship. You can't go on your pastor's worship. You have to worship God for yourself. And watch this. Anything that you place above God, anything that you put in God's place, or anything that you elevate above God is idolatry. It's idolatry. And the tricky part is that that's subtle at the beginning. You know? I don't think God minds a lot of things that we do. But when we put that before God, it becomes idolatry. Did you know even your feelings can bring idolatry? You love me this morning. I know it. I could tell. But watch this. It's like, but Lord, I'm really angry at them and I really hate them and I really... And God said, you're wrong. You need to get that. But Lord, you don't understand what they did to me. So what you're doing is you're elevating your hurt above the truth. And at that point, your hurt becomes an idol. Because you placed it before God. He said to love your neighbor. Lord, I can't love that person. You just put yourself above him. You see where I'm going with this? It's like for true worship to come, we must surrender to him. And yes, sir. Yes, sir. You want me to take that hill? Yes, sir. You want me to clean up the cigarettes? Yes, sir. Whatever it is that you're requiring of me, Lord, that's what I'm going to do because I want to worship you in spirit and in truth. And if we don't go to that degree, then I guarantee you that there will be things put in our lives that will begin to become idols. And God hates idolatry. I said God hates idolatry. But we've got to come back to the place of worship. Let me just say this too, that sometimes if we get our means and our purpose messed up, it can become an idol. What do I mean by that? Our means is the things that we use in order to get us to a place of worship. But when we take the purpose of getting before God's presence out of it, it becomes idolatry. Like this. Even our worship team or the act of these songs and doing these particular things in this certain way, bless God, I'm going to do it. And as a worship team, it can get like this. It's like, well, how do I sound? And oh my, the sound is all messed up and this is messed up and that person's not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And it's easy to get there, but the reality is what we've just done is we put the method of getting there over the object of where we're going. This last song, the heart of worship, that's what that's all about. It's like, Lord, I don't want to be performing in a certain way that's not pleasing to you. My objective, Lord, is just to be in your presence, bow before you, recognize you as Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and then just put myself in a position to do whatever you want me to do. We're talking about true worship. Those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. So here's the king, and he allows these things to go on. But let's look at another king. Next chapter, chapter 15. 15 and verse 11. And Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and did as his father David. And he banished the perverted persons from the land and removed all the idols his father had made. He removed Maacah, his grandmother, from being queen mother because she made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cut down the obscene image and burned it in the brook of Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was loyal to the Lord all of his days. Listen, Asa said, we're not going to do that anymore. And wherever I see them, I'm taking them down. But even he and his kingdom could get them all down. But in our own hearts, right? If we've established anything that's above God, we have to be at the place where we're willing to take them down. Hello? If Jesus has become Lord of our lives and we're truly made him the Lord of our lives, that means that he's first place. And that I'm not going to put anything back on there. And what's easy to do, this is easy for us to do, is to begin to put, when we're just kind of coasting along, to let some of those things back in where God needs to be first place. I'll just speak about me. It's like when I grew up, I played sports all of my life. You know, 5, 6 years old, playing baseball, football, basketball, soccer. You know, played all, nothing that required a lot of running because I'm not very fast. But I played a lot of sports. I played high school basketball, and after we got out of high school, we'd goofing around. We'd always play sports, and we loved sports. So when the Sonics first came, yay! You know, when the Mariners came, awesome. When the Seahawks came, it was like, hallelujah, right? I mean, that's kind of the way it was. But when I got saved, those things didn't mean as much to me. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with watching a football, basketball game, or whatever. But if that begins to elevate over God's position in your life, it's become an idol. And it would be easy for me to allow that to happen. Now, again, I'm the pastor. I'm up here. So I'm not putting this on you necessarily. But if your worship of God is second place to your favorite team, that team has become an idol. And we can't worship God and idols at the same time. Why am I saying all this? I'm just saying, Lord, examine our hearts. Because I really want to come back to the heart of worship where it's all about you and not about me. I really want to come back to that God, but I need to be able to see, Lord, if there's any idols in my life. And if there is any idols, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get them out of my life. Hallelujah. Go to Acts chapter 19 and look at this. Actually, the apostles, how many know that from Genesis to Revelation, the people were no different than you and I? Right? I mean, they had the same things, the same needs, the same wants. I mean, even Jesus in the story at the well, you'd think that, oh, this is the Son of God. He was tired. He was thirsty. Right? Because he had needs. Right? His physical body had needs. And so mankind, as you look over the years, it doesn't change that much. Right? But we oftentimes forget our history and are doomed to repeat it. That's why Israel was like this. And that's why I think it's happening even in this country. Look at verse 18 of chapter 19 of the book of Acts. It says, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who practiced magic brought their books and they burned them at the sight of all. And they counted them up, the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. And when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, and when he passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, after saying, I have been there. I must also see Rome. Look, here's the deal. It's like they got saved. But like I like to say sometimes, although I'm not sure it has scriptural relevance, they got saved. And the reason that I say that, when I got saved, I got saved. When I got saved, everything changed. I'm not saying that I hated my old friends and you know, all of that, but I didn't want to do what they were doing anymore. I didn't want to be where they were at anymore. I was under the influence of Almighty God, and I didn't want the influence of drugs and alcohol and all the rest of the stuff that I was into before. I completely came out of that and went into Him, right? So I got saved. I know something happened inside of me. I know my heart was changed, but I've seen people who got saved and there's no change in them at all. None. It's like I said the prayer, glory to God, I'm on my way to heaven, right? But the reality is, and I'm not the judge, God is the judge, and I hope that every one of them is truly born again and saved, but I think for us, if we're going to worship God the way that we need to worship God, we need to come back to the altar and say, Lord, when I said, Jesus, I need You as my Savior, so I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, He's my Master. So I have to submit everything to Him and through Him. I have to submit my attitudes. I have to submit my actions. And if we're going to worship Him, we have to be in a constant state of that. What is God speaking to you about? You see, not too many months ago, God began to speak to me about worship. I didn't worship Him every day. When I say that, I mean I didn't get down on my knees and just say, Lord, I worship You. I want to honor You. I want You to have the place in my life that You deserve. I want to bow before You. Now I prayed, don't get me wrong, and I read the Word and I did certain things. And you know, obviously we sang the songs up here and those were worship songs. But my heart wasn't at the place and God began to deal with me about it. And so I had to make time in my day to worship. I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about You. It's all about You, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about You, it's all about You, Jesus. See, that's what our life has to be. When I'm talking about worship, I'm not necessarily talking about the ceremony or the songs or the words of the songs or the style of the songs. What I'm talking about is the heart. Are you singing from your heart? Are you playing from your heart? Are you living from your heart for God? That's the kind of worship that we're talking about. Hallelujah. I've got to quit, but go to Psalm 78 right quick. Psalm 78. I just want to challenge us, not you. I'm not challenging you. I'm challenging us because we're all in the same boat where we live this life and there's so many distractions away from our relationship with God, that we have to come back to the place of realizing, God, I need You as first place. So I repent. I just ask You to forgive me, God, for putting sports over You, for putting my kids over You, for putting my golf over You, for putting my wife over You, for putting my house over You, for putting anything over You. I repent of that, Lord, and I'm coming back to You, Lord, and I just want You to have my heart completely. Psalm 78, and let's go to verse 56. It said, yet they tested and provoked the Most High God and did not keep His testimonies, but turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. For they provoked Him to anger with their high places and moved Him to jealousy with their carved images. When God heard this, He was furiously and greatly abhorred Israel, so that He forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh and the tent that He had placed among them. Here's what I'm saying. And you can read on this. This is an incredible psalm if you read the whole thing in context, but it's like, Lord, if there's any idols in my life, I want them gone. Because I want to get back to the place of worship, but I have to remove and I have to burn, or I have to cast out, or I have to, you know, if I need to fast, or if I need to give up, or if I need to, you know, quit doing this or quit doing that, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. If Facebook has taken too much of your time and you know, you gotta, well, I'm getting off of Facebook. If you know, the phone, being on the phone, and it's easy to do, like on the phone all the time, playing games, doing whatever, searching this, searching that. It's like, Lord, if that's taking my time, then I'm going to take all that off and just use it as a phone, right? And if that doesn't work, I'm going to throw it away and not have a phone. Do you hear where I'm coming from? It's like, if we're going to really get back to the place of worship, He has to be first. He has to be first. One more scripture and then I'll close. Go to 1 John. You'd think, well, you know, we're born again. We're saved. I mean, glory to God. The love of Jesus has taken care of us, and we are His righteousness and all of this. I mean, that's Old Testament stuff, and why are you speaking that way? And I'll just remind you that 1 John chapter 5 and the last verse of it says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Right? And that's where, if we're going to worship, we cannot have idolatry in our midst. I told you that before we started that this might be a little different than you've heard before about worship, but what I'm telling you is that God is serious about this, because we're living in an hour where He needs people that are turned on to Him, that are ready to do whatever He says, so that He can show people His love and demonstrate it in a fashion that I believe that there's going to be a harvest of souls even coming in this year. I believe that there's deliverance for people. I believe He wants to show Himself mightily on the earth today, but He needs us to be in tune with Him. And the way that we get in tune with Him is worship Him, is bow before Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word today, and I don't take it lightly, Lord, and I come before You right now, Lord, and I just want to lead everybody in here, Lord, to just come before You, Lord, with hearts that are bended towards You, and we just yield ourselves to You right now, and we declare, Father, that You are the God of the universe. You created everything. You are our source, and we yield ourselves to You right now. We lay our whole lives before You, anything that we have, any attitudes that we have, and we yield them to You right now. We ask for forgiveness for those things that don't please You. But Lord, we're coming before You, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And Lord, really, we want You to receive our worship. So we come, Lord, with hearts that are for You. Use us, Lord. Use us, Lord. Let's just take a moment and let the Lord speak to your heart. There'll be things that come to your mind right now, some thoughts that come to your mind, maybe something that God is dealing with you about, we're just going to be quiet for a minute and let God do that in us. If you're at home on the couch or whatever, just get quiet before Him. If there are things coming to your heart or your mind, just release them to God and put a plan of action into being obedient to what He's speaking to you right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For all those watching online, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, surrender to Him and say, I need God, so I need a path to God. I need Jesus to be my Messiah, so I yield my life to Him 100%. In Jesus' name. If you do that, your life will be forever altered. Let somebody know. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Go with God. Be with God. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 If I could have the worship team.